Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. Glad you could join us again, and that you're ready to hear what has been going on in the realm of natural health. Now, as I've said many times before, I'm not going to be able to share with you everything that's going on with regard to natural health in the previous week, but these are the things that caught my eye and that I talked about on our blog, which is the Traditional Naturopath blog. And that, of course, is at traditionalnaturopath.com. T-R-A-D-I-T-I-O-N-A-L, traditional, naturopath, N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H.com. Traditionalnaturopath.com. Join me there and read about some of the things that have been happening in the natural health field and in the news with regard to natural health over the last week or so. All right, let's look at our first entry since the last podcast. The last podcast was number 23. This is number 24. And we'll start with an article that I blogged about on February the 13th due to some news that came out about a study that found that naps are beneficial not only to cut down on stress, but to cut the risk of heart attack. Now, we're not talking about an insignificant amount here. We're talking about cutting the risk of heart attack by 37%. Wow, 37% reduction by taking a nap. And you might say, oh man, Dr. Bill, I don't have a time to take a nap. I'm rushing, I'm running, I'm pushing all day long, all night long. Well, there's your problem. You have to slow down. You have to not be under such stress. Take it easy. You know, our Mexican friends have a term called a siesta. Middle of the afternoon, they just kick back, relax, and have a siesta. Well, you'll notice that in their lifestyle, they also don't have issues quite as much with heart attack. Because they're relaxed, there's not as much stress. Okay? Unfortunately, in our lifestyle today, particularly the American lifestyle, there's just too much stress. And to tell you the truth, a lot of that stress is self-imposed. We're the ones pushing. We're the ones trying to do too much with too little time. You know, we overcommit. I don't know if you're like that. I certainly have been guilty of it too much in the past. Overcommitting. Every opportunity that comes along in and of itself is a good thing. People ask you for help, and you know, the opportunity they present is a good thing. But if you try to do every single thing that you have access to do, even though they're all good things, you can put yourself under a tremendous amount of stress. Now let's read an excerpt from this article that I found on this particular issue. People who take at least 3 daytime naps a week, so it's not even every day, lasting 30 minutes or longer, cut their risk of dying from a heart attack by 37%, according to a study by a team of U.S. and Greek researchers. Regular siestas apparently lower stress, which is frequently associated with heart disease. The scientists reported in Monday's edition of the Archives of Internal Medicine, a leading medical journal. If you can take a midday nap, do so, advised co-author Dimitrios Tripoulos, an I got that one almost right, and then I mess up on epidemiologist. Get my tongue working here. At the Harvard School of Public Health in Boston. Okay, basically what they did is they studied 23,681 healthy men and women in Greece for more than 6 years. Now, that's not an insignificant number of people, okay? We're not talking about a tiny little group here, and then they're extrapolating from it. This is a large group. Of these, 792 died, 133 of them from coronary heart disease. Slightly more than half of the study group, took regular midday naps, a mark of the siesta's popularity in Mediterranean society, the napper's death rate was about two-thirds the rate among Greeks who stayed awake all day long, the study found. The reason for napping's life-saving merits aren't definitely known, but a number of studies have found links between heart troubles and physical or emotional stress. So again, stress reduction and napping can be a good way to lower the incidence of heart attack. All right, next item. A Chinese herb lowers blood pressure, reducing hypertension. An herb called danshin, traditionally used in China as a medicine for high blood pressure, has been shown to reduce hypertension in hamsters, according to a study published in the American Journal of Physiology. Researchers at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey have administered danshin's active ingredient, the chemical tanshinone 2A, hopefully pronouncing that close to correct, to hamsters with hypertension. Now, I'm not even going to get into how they know hamsters have hypertension. I can see these little tiny blood pressure things, you know, that they've got around their little paws. Anyway, I don't know, that just struck me funny. Hamsters with hypertension. But anyway, they did this study, and they found that the hamsters' blood vessels dilated in response, and their blood pressure decreased as a result of using this herb. Researchers hypothesize that danshin causes this effect by increasing the body's production of nitric oxide. Danshin, known by its scientific name of Salvia milteroisa, is a variety of sage. David Kim, the author of the study and assistant professor in the Department of Pharmacology and Physiology, is a licensed acupuncturist. Well, now here you go. A scientist, a professor in pharmacology and physiology who's also a licensed acupuncturist. Now that's what I call alternative and complementary medicine. The mixing of allopathic medicine and natural medicine. Boy, that's exciting. And he's studying this is even additionally exciting. Traditionally, we knew this was working for high blood pressure, he said, but we didn't know what the mechanism was. Kim says he wants to further study how long danshin's effects last after it's administered. Now listen to this quote very closely. In Western medicine, a treatment works fast but doesn't last long, he said. In Oriental medicine, which remember is herbal-based, it works slowly but it lasts. Now you see, that's what I've been saying about naturopathic treatments and natural health treatments. They're not an immediate overnight, bam, you know, you're healed. No, they begin to correct issues within the body's physiology slowly, okay? But then they have long-term, long-lasting effects. That's why I say there's a place for allopathic medicine, because that's when you need what we call a heroic response. If you're hit by a car and you're bleeding, get yourself to an emergency room. Have somebody take you there and have allopathic medicine correct that immediate need with a heroic measure. But if you are generally healthy, you need to maintain your health by the use of natural or naturopathic treatments or lifestyle changes that are going to help you live a healthier life. You know, it's not saving your life in a moment like a heroic intervention would be, but it saves your life long term by creating a terrain in your body and achieving homeostasis in your body that is a healthy environment physiologically. Okay? That's the difference between a natural health approach and an allopathic approach. So, this just points out, and here's this researcher that basically says the same thing. Allopathic medicine has an immediate response, but then does not have a long-term benefit. Natural health isn't quite as immediately effective initially, but has a long-term benefit. All right, Next item, contaminated peanut butter. You might say, what in the world does contaminated peanut butter have to do with natural health podcast? Well, just this. It brings back into focus that we are the people directly responsible for our health. So don't sit around and wait for somebody to say, you know, bat that peanut butter out of your hand and say, don't eat that. You need to be aware that in the news this past week, there was salmonella poisoning being caused by certain brands of peanut butter. And in fact, it was Peter Pan peanut butter and Walmart's Great Value brand peanut butter. And if you look at the jar, the product code on the lid, if it begins with 2111, that denotes the plant where it was made. And those are the ones that you need to throw away because they could be contaminated with salmonella poisoning. Now, again, you might say, what does that have to do with it? I'm just talking about the fact, the reason I brought it to your attention, basically in a sense, public service announcement, if you will, that you need to watch for that peanut butter. But the side of the coin that I blogged about was, you're the one most responsible for your personal health. You need to look at, pay attention to, these things as they come out. If you happen to have bought some peanut butter and you look at the lid and you see that number, you know, toss it. It's only, you know, a buck or two, whatever it is. Go out and find you some that isn't that particular brand. And that, in that way, you're being proactive in protecting your health, which is what we're talking about when it comes to a naturopathic approach. You taking responsibility. And as I say, repeat it often, you are the person most responsible for your personal health. All right, well, it's been a fairly short podcast, but those are the things that caught my eye this week, and I just want you to join us next time as we get into additional areas in the field of natural health. Write me at Dr. Bill, DrBill, at traditionalnaturopath.com. We'll see you next time.